You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Lord God, we praise and exalt you today. Lord, we thank you for another day here today. We praise and exalt and magnify you today, Lord. We ask for your blessings on our study here today. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are in Acts chapter 9. We'll pick it up there in a moment. Just in the meantime, just a couple of quick announcements here on this ministry. For more about me and this ministry, WGOD and Paul Esposito, you can go to WGODradio.com. That's one of the places. Also, my Bible translation, for those interested in that, is available at MajorityText.com. And many times I'll use that on this program. Many of you know I'm a Bible translator, and I like to use my own translation occasionally on this program. And if you'd like to read it or look at it or purchase it, you can do that by going to MajorityText.com. Why do I have my own translation and why do I do that? Well, because I believe that the majority text is the closest representation to the original autographs spoken by Almighty God. I and others believe that, and that's why I have and use my own Bible translation from time to time. Though daily on here, you hear me use the King James Version, because I love the King James and I love the New King James. The majority text is from the same family of manuscripts as the King James Version is. I mean, think about it. Where are you most likely going to find the original autograph spoken by God? Would you have a better probability of finding the original letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians? Are your odds better of finding the original from one or many found in the city of Corinth or found in the city of Alexandria, Egypt? Now I ask you that question. And what's your answer to that? Where do you think you have a better probability of finding the original autographs of a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Would you have a better chance finding it in Corinth? Or would you have a better chance finding it in Egypt? You answer that question. Now, the majority text is Byzantine Greek manuscripts that are found in the Byzantine Empire. That's found in Colossae. That's found in Corinth. Those were found in Ephesus. Those that are found in Athens. Those that are found in Mount Athos in Greece. Those that are found on the island of Patmos, there's a monastery there as well. There's one or two manuscripts available on the island of Patmos. Now, where do you think is the greater probability of finding the closest you could find to an original autograph of the book of Revelation? In your opinion, would that be on the island of Patmos or would that be in Alexandria, Egypt? I put the question out there to you. You'd have to answer that question on your own. I think it's a logical answer and progression to that. That's why I believe in the Greek Byzantine majority text and the manuscripts. There's hundreds of them found from these areas where the Bible was written to originally. And I think that's where you'll find, and this is a quest of mine, is to find the original and the closest thing that we can come to, the original autograph spoken by Almighty God. And I believe that that can be found because I believe that God has preserved his word throughout the years. I believe that. Psalm 12 talks about it, other places as well. God has preserved his word. There's never been a time when the word of God has been lost. I believe that. Now, here today, as I put my glasses back on, we were looking at the conversion of Paul, and we were in chapter 9. Then Saul breathing threats and murder against the disciples. Now I'm in the New King James. He went to the high priest and asked for letters, and asked letters from him, that is from the high priest, to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now that's where we left off in our last program. The conversion of Paul. And I made the comment that this is where the doctrine, perhaps you've heard it before, of irresistible grace comes from. It's one of the doctrines of grace. It's something that many Christians believe and the Reformed Church teaches, and that is on the sovereignty of God. The salvation of the Apostle Paul. I put it to you from looking at this text. Let me read it again, and then I'll ask the question. And that's just something to chew on here today on this Monday as you're hearing it on the radio or over the weekend when you're downloading the podcast. The salvation of Paul. How much of this did Paul have to do with this? And how much of this was God responsible for? We'll get to that again. Let me read it here. Paul is looking for letters here because he's going from door to door, dragging Christians out and taking them for them to be put in jail for believing in Jesus. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Now, as he journeyed near Damascus, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, ego eimi Iesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then he said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate or drank. All right, Paul's up. He's blind, can't see anything. He's being led by the hand by some of the people that were with him, and he's brought to Damascus. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch here in Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, let's move on here, verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here am I, Lord," or "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered and said, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' Now Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now there you have the conversion of Paul. And here you have why many people in the church believe, me one of them as well, in the doctrine of irresistible grace. And that is, on this day, the Apostle Paul was going to believe in Jesus Christ, because God is the one that orchestrates our salvation, not man. Look at what happened to Paul earlier when Paul heard the gospel message being preached by Stephen. It says, Saul was consenting to his death. I mean, here's the Apostle Paul standing 5 feet next to Stephen. Stephen says to him, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that infuriated him. Saul consented to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, this is Acts 8:3, as for Saul, he wreaked havoc on the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't believe in chapter 8 because it wasn't time for him to believe yet. Why? Because bad things had to happen to good people first. You see, God is sovereign. He's still sitting on the throne. He hasn't gone anywhere. He lets bad things happen to good people. Look what happened as a result of this. Because of Saul persecuting the church, it drove out Christians north, south, east, and west, and the gospel spread as a result of sin. Isn't that something? Have you ever had anything good happen to you in your life as a result of you doing something bad? I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, where God's taken my missteps, my errors, my mistakes, my moving when I should have stood still, my turning right when I should have turned left, and God turns those things around for good. Hallelujah, that's what he does. He doesn't hold our mistakes against us, but he'll even take our mistakes and have good come out of him. Here, the Apostle Paul didn't believe yet, wasn't his time yet, because bad things still had to happen to good people. The gospel spread because of sin and Paul's sin. Good came out of this. Now here, irresistible grace. Here, as the Apostle Paul was knocked off his... Now granted, this is an extreme example of salvation. Doesn't happen to everyone. But I know there's plenty of people out here today within the sound of my voice could call me up with a similar testimony of what happened to you the day that you believed. It was your day to believe. Many of you went through extraordinary things happened to you on the day that you believed. Likewise, the same with Paul. This is the irresistible grace of God that was destined on this day that Paul was going to become a believer in Jesus Christ. The irresistible grace of God. God has done all the work. We have done none of it. All we have done is believed and received. We're out of time. We'll be back again tomorrow with another program. You're listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD.